Welcome one and all to Last Stop Penn Station podcast featuring Carrie Silken and Ian Riccoboni. They dive deep into Carrie's wealth of stories, and no subject is off limits. From the world of wrestling to his ticket agency, growing up in New Jersey, drug-fueled underground days, hustling in the French Quarter of New Orleans, and endless days and nights in New York City, every story is worth telling.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. It is Last Stop Penn Station. Ian Riccoboni, our guest of honor, Carrie Silken. Carrie, you're hanging on a thread right now. Our producer, AJ, he's trying to encourage you to power through this episode.
We're all tired. I think after complaining about the bad weather we had for so many weeks and months, mm-hmm. that hot spree.
96.
I never complain about, really. And I think it knocked everyone out.
I think so. I went to bed at 7 o'clock on Sunday.
Right.
Seven.
Yeah, I was exhausted. This is our special root canal edition of Last Stop Penn Station. We'll get to that in a moment. But my opening quote before AJ and I watched The Sopranos. We talked about that. There's so many great lines in The Sopranos. We're now watching Breaking Bad, which doesn't have these kind of, you know, these quotes as much as these great characters from The Sopranos. I've also been watching, and if you haven't, I don't think you've seen this either, our friend Liam that we went to Santana with.
Yeah.
Watching Deadwood again.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Have you ever seen that?
I've seen a couple episodes.
1876.
Yeah.
The Wild West, you know, what are they called? A sovereign nation? There were no laws.
Right.
So they can basically do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many funny quotes, so many characters. But the one guy that runs the saloon and the whorehouse, who's quite a scumbag, but yet it's funny. And they talk in like this Elizabethan English. I saw a special about it where they explain that maybe 1 out of 10 people read and write.
Wow.
But if you had some kind of schooling, you were taught in this Elizabethan English.
Interesting.
And like the word cocksucker is used like you would say, hey, dude.
Oh, okay.
Right. It wasn't necessary. So anyway, there was just a line in one of the shows today where Al Swergen, the nasty saloon owner, says, I'd rather try touching the moon than to take on let's try this again. I'd rather try touching the moon than to take on a whore's thinking.
Oh, geez. What imagery.
He was trying to figure out what this whore was thinking.
Wow.
Yeah. Deadwood's great.
Yeah. And that was on HBO also, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Either HBO or Showtime.
You should get HBO Max at this point.
I have it.
We watched Vice Principals. We're almost finished. That's a funny one.
What's that?
It's with Danny McBride. He's the guy with the mullet. He's you know him from Eastbound and Down, where he plays the baseball player. Or he was in all the Will Ferrell movies, too. But he plays there's two vice principals, and they get a new principal in. And she's African-American, and they're from South Carolina. So they immediately have a problem with it. And it's a comedy about just how bad the situation is, because they both the vice principals thought they were going to be the principal. And then their worst nightmare comes, a strong, powerful, funny woman of color from the Northeast.
So it's like a...
It's a comedy. It's a comedy, right. And it plays on the fact that they're... You know, they're surface level racists, and it makes fun of that ideology.
Put that on the list, AJ.
There you go. It's fun. It's a little vulgar, but it's fun.
Maybe that's all right.
Yeah,
like some vulgarity. What do we got here? Well, we got July 11th coming now.
Yeah,
coming around the bend. I hope I'm feeling better by then.
I think you will be.
We're going to be live in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Best in the world.
Best in the world coming up, and those tickets are flying.
And they're on sale to the general public.
They are. The floor sold out. The Honor Club sold out the floor. The first level is almost sold out. Now, it's only one half right now. I understand if the rest of the tickets sell, they may look to open up the second half of the building. But between the floor and the lower bowl, and now tickets are moving in the upper bowl, it's going to be a great turnout.
But don't forget, as they'll always say, plenty of good seats still
available. Plenty of good seats still available. And that at a good price, too. I think $30 gets you in the door.
Very reasonable. We want to get people in the building to celebrate the return of the fans coming back to Ring of Honor.
And I spilled the beans this week.
What did you do?
I let the people know on television we're coming back to Philadelphia. Because I was told before we went into the bubble.
I was told when I went down there, too.
Please promote the following dates on television. And my announcement on TV predated the press release of the available tickets. It's going to be the 2300 Arena. I'm going to wait for Ring of Honor to make the official announcement. I didn't know at the time that I was making the announcement that I would jump the gun.
Oh, that's all right. I heard a rumor that we might be there multiple nights.
Two nights.
That's cool.
Yeah, with huge main events already scheduled.
Okay. So you better not let that
I won't let the cat out of the bag there. And so one of them depends on Best in the World on July 11th. So Roosh, he's the world champion. He's very likely he's going to be defending against the Survival of the Fittest winner. We saw Flamita punch his ticket on this week's Watch Along. Demonic Flamita in the black.
I cannot tell a lie. I've been very faithful with the Watch Alongs, but it played into my root canal problem, which we'll get to in a little bit, and I did not see. So what did we have on Monday?
We had Silas Young and Josh Woods in the main event. Josh defeated Silas Young in pure rules. They're now 1-1 against each other. The third match, the rubber match, is going to be at Best in the World also. Last man standing.
Now, is that pure rules?
No. And that's Silas's specialty match. He won the television title.
So this should be a real grudge match.
It will be.
A real brawl.
A real treat for the fans.
Former partners.
Yeah, they were 8-1 before the team broke up. And I don't know why. I still don't know why they broke up.
And what was the other match that was announced?
Yeah, Demonic Flamita taking on Ray Orris was in the Survival of the Fittest. Flamita won, and he advances. Brian Johnson also advanced by beating Sledge on Week by Week.
Did I hear? I heard Danhausen on the ROH Strong podcast.
Yeah.
Is he wrestling Brian Johnson in Baltimore?
He'll be wrestling Rhett Titus.
Rhett Titus.
He'll be wrestling Rhett Titus in the Survival of the Fittest. And that match is coming up in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. So two of the six tickets are punched and we're going to guarantee
that. Was it a Jay Lethal match announced?
Jay Lethal will be taking on Brody King. Yeah.
That should be good.
Yeah. First time ever. I can't believe it. It's the first time they're facing 1-on-1. Brody pinned him a couple of weeks ago in that 8-man. Violence Unlimited versus the Foundation. So,
Shaping up. Yeah. You just have little fingers.
Like on the poster of the week. If you're not familiar, it's on the free tier of adfreeshows.com. Thanks, Conrad.
Yes.
And, yeah, we had a good weekend, though. Before the Root Canal, you had myself, my wife, Zach, and Nora over.
Yes.
And we were swimming in the pool.
That was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. We ordered pizza. It was a real good time. You taught Zach how to play pinball.
That was the highlight of my weekend. It was nice to see the kids. It was nice to see the kids and Sarah.
Yeah.
And also to see the kids go in the pool. Just, we have a guest here tonight. Our friend Chris is... very rare that we have. We had your friend Chris.
We did
that one time,
you're right?
You're the only people named Chris can come watch Last Stop Penn Station. But 2-year-old Nora,
yeah,
and
who you were there on the day she was born. You came and delivered flowers. It's this very sweet gesture.
And 4-year-old Zach, and after a little trouble with Nora in the beginning, she acclimated to the pool.
She wanted to jump in. She was very frustrated that she couldn't jump in the pool.
And Zach was great. It's funny, you know, how can you think, you know, you're 4 years old, right? So he's tall enough to stand on the short end, you know, because it's only like 3 feet.
Yeah.
But he was just scared about standing. Like
right.
He was just going to... Eventually he did. But he was going, you know, with the floating things and Noodle. He was going on his own, you know, we were guiding him, but back and forth.
Yeah.
It was really cool to see.
And he ended up having a real fun time, and he asked when we can come back. So he's looking forward to it.
Anytime.
And Sunday, I went to the basketball game with him, the Sixers playoff game. A little too loud and exciting, so we'll keep going to the Iron Pigs for now, I think.
But you warned me about that, too.
Yeah, we could have gone either way, and I was excited to try. And we had a fun time eating ice cream in the concourse.
And how was the traffic?
Bad. So the Sixers were playing.
I saw there was a ball game.
The Phillies were playing. And the flower show was down the street.
Oh, the damn flower show fucks everything up.
Tiny Tim was tiptoeing through the tulips. We drove through the Navy Yard. I took a risk that the road through the Navy Yard would be open as a shortcut.
Did you take that horrible Schuylkill or did you take the blue
route? No, I took the blue route to 95.
It seems so odd to take that blue route. You know you're going like in the wrong direction.
Probably. Right.
But that Schuylkill, or whatever it's called,
yeah,
it's awful.
You know, once you get to that curve, that it's just
like
going to stop.
Canal.
It is, yeah. So you had some root canals. Hey, tell us about it. We'll
get there just real quick. Ring of Honor. Don't forget the women's division Wednesday.
Yeah, tag team match this week. Great stuff. Yeah.
We mentioned the 55-5 and. The poster of the week. Thank you, Conrad Thompson, Ad Free Shows.
Which has been giving us a rub. I got noticed that we fell out of the Canada, Ireland, and U.S. podcast rankings, which means we were on the rankings to begin with. So yes. Congratulations.
So. We're doing good in Norway also.
Yeah.
So I saw that.
Yeah.
Did you see that... Bruce Springsteen's coming to Broadway again?
I did. Yeah. I guess I gotta go. I gotta make sure I get there.
You know, and they announced today the Foo Fighters are playing two nights in late June at the Garden. And now I'm not, it's funny. I would get all excited with the tickets, but last time Springsteen played, when he did the run at the Walter Kerr where Hadestown is.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Bruce, but he's supposed to be the man of the people. His tickets were so expensive, face value, that I didn't even get involved with it back then.
Wow.
I got to go see it. My friend Joel came over from England. He's a huge Bruce fan. Mm-hmm. And at a mere $1,300 a ticket in the front mezzanine. So with these Springsteen tickets going on sale Thursday, if I try to get a couple, I'll try to get a couple for myself. But they don't send them to you till 24 hours before the show.
Wow.
There's all these COVID restrictions.
Yeah.
Hadestown went on sale last week and I tried to buy a few just to go. Plus, it was going to be the first, you know, real Broadway show to come back. And that, too, they don't send you the tickets till 24 hours before. Now, even if you're just a fan.
Right.
You want the damn tickets. Or maybe you bought, you know, maybe grandma bought the tickets for Little Junior.
Even,
you know, the Yankees, they don't send you tickets to like 48 hours. Like, why?
Yeah. Or I got kids, right? What if Zach got sick? And I knew on Friday night that I couldn't go. The Sixers, at least, so when you buy the tickets, they send you the tickets.
Right. So I'm not that upset to be out of the ticket business. I wouldn't mind seeing Bruce again. I did enjoy the show. And I definitely want to go back to Hadestown. It was really nice having you here Saturday. And our producer, AJ, finally got to get out of town with a very brief camping trip. He was like back and forth, like it seemed too fast, like 36 hours. But I know he had a good time as he stares at me in silence.
He's got so many gizmos. There's a song by the Lemonheads called The Outdoor Type where he talks about trying to go camping and wanting to be outdoors, but he's afraid he's going to miss something on TV. But they won't
see
the Lemonheads.
Okay.
Yeah, they're from the 90s. They might not be your speed as much, but I think they did the second Woodstock.
Okay. The infamous second Woodstock.
Right.
But yeah, it was so hot this weekend. I'm the one who always says, I don't care how hot it is. But it really knocked me out.
Yeah.
The, oh, geez. I'll get to the damn root canal in a second. I finished that Yogi Berra book, and it was really, really good. I'm a Yankee fan, and just his whole history and the yogiisms, which he discussed. But the end of the book, the last, you know, 100 pages, it's just so sad because the attrition of all his friends, Billy Martin, the names go on and on, Jackie Robinson, you know, all the Brooklyn Dodgers, he was close to all these guys. They all lived in, you know, if you played in Brooklyn or you played in for the New York Giants, you lived in the tri-state area. Most of these guys lived in Jersey. And then Mickey Mantle dying at 63 years old. And I'd forgotten that Yogi had almost a 15-year boycott of Yankee Stadium. Do you remember
that? No, I don't.
He got so upset with Steinbrenner in the 80s.
The owner, George Steinbrenner,
Yogi was the Yankee manager in between Billy Martin, and he was a coach, and he just didn't like, he got so sick, and he was a very mellow guy. He got so sick of Steinbrenner's interference. There was a particular incident, I can't remember what it was, but it was enough that Yogi did not come back to Yankee Stadium from like 85 till 98, including special day for Joe DiMaggio before, you know, and he was getting old. The day after Mickey Mantle died and like just, because that was right in the middle of the season in the 60s. In the 90s, and he wouldn't go. And finally, who the hell was it? Joe Torre was manager of the Yankees, and this happened and that happened. And Phil Rizzuto died, one of his good friends. And it was just like, you know, just very, and George, to George Steinbrenner's credit, he was offering fig leaves to Yogi to come back, but Yogi was just like, you know, fuck you. You know, and he finally came back. And but yeah, there's that museum in Montclair.
He lived
a long life.
He did. I was a bat boy at that next to the museum.
Really?
The New Jersey Jackals played there in Montclair.
Did you ever go in there?
I did. Yeah, it's very nice. I was there 98, 99, 2000. Yeah. So the Ambassadors are the independent, were the independent league team here. And they used to travel to Jersey and play the New Jersey Jackals, who are still around to this day and still play in Yogi Berra Stadium.
Did you didn't get to meet Yogi?
I didn't get to meet Yogi. I met a surprising amount. I've met,
Well, we know about Kurt Simmons.
Yeah, Kurt Simmons, the owner of the Ambassadors used to bring in. He brought in Pete Rose, Steve Carlton, Goose Gossage, Buck O'Neill. List goes on and on. Anybody that was recently inducted to the Hall of Fame, he tried to bring in around that time period. So it was a lot of fun.
Sort of like the way I would bring in Bret Hart.
Yeah, Bob Feller. It was another guy that I brought in. Yeah, and just, you know, Bob Feller was 85 years old and just a heck of a guy, you know, to be able to talk to him.
I met him at a card show once.
Yeah, nice guy. He'll talk you. He talked my ear off.
Incredible pitcher.
Yeah.
You know, talk about a fastballer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he pitched in, what, the 40s and 50s?
40s and 50s.
For the Indians.
Yeah.
I think he had like three no-hitters, four no-hitters.
He did.
Like
and
that.
When he retired, I think he was third or fourth all-time in strikeouts.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And still in the top probably 15, even still. So, but yeah, that was it was a lot of fun. And the Yogi Berra Park was very nice. And never got to meet him, though.
Well, he lived a long life, but it just seems sad. Maybe I'm getting old and sentimental, you know, and being a Yankee fan. Once again, he lived to like 88. And it's just the attrition around him was, as time went on, the Phil Rizzuto one was the worst. Yeah. You know, Phil Rizzuto is like 4 or 5 years older than him. And these guys sort of lived clean lives in comparison to Mickey Mantle.
Right.
You know, they drank and they smoked, but they didn't go hog wild.
Well, the Yankees, too, a lot of them did live pretty long. I mean, Gil McDougall lived until he was, what, 80 plus? you look at the pitching staff, Whitey Ford. I thought
Whitey Ford was the last of the Mohicans.
I thought he was going to live forever. I mean, he was just around for a long, long time. We're fortunate to have him around. You look up and down that roster, it's pretty, they actually pretty good, pretty long lives.
Yeah, after reading all this, I went on YouTube and there's a couple of specials, one with Yogi, Phil Rizzuto, and mm-hmm. Whitey Ford just talking. And there's a really good one of the Don Larson perfect game.
Oh, wow.
The whole game, pitch for pitch. And Don Larson, who he died a few years ago.
Yeah, recently, in the 90s.
He and Yogi commentate in between innings.
Wow.
On the game. And I'm sure it's available. Mm-hmm. It's on ESPN. You could find it. You know, when they would show those games, they didn't have the shot of the every pitch now is from behind the, you know, over the pitcher's shoulder from center field.
Right.
And then it was every pitch was behind the plate.
Right.
And like once in a blue moon, you'll see, they'll save the camera shot from the batter's viewpoint. I wish they would do that more.
Yeah. They used to do that on Fox a lot during the World Series. I don't know why they moved away from it. The behind the catcher shot.
I like it.
I do too. Yeah.
So now I'm on to a Beatles book. It's about the killing of John Lennon.
Oh, wow.
But it's really good Beatle history.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you more about it next week. They were talking about, just like there were Yogi-isms, there were Ringo-isms.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like he invented the phrase, Hard Day's Night, which was their first movie.
Yeah.
That was his comment.
Oh, wow.
Then the movie was going to be called Beatlemania.
Okay.
And he said something like, it's been all, they had a long day of shooting. They didn't know what they were even doing. It was a hard day's night. That's a title, right? So I'm checking out this Beatles book, The Lennon Murder. But I got stricken with this root canal thing. My mouth was hurting last week. I was guilty of not going for proper cleanings. Mm-hmm. Would that have saved it? I don't know.
And they make you feel so bad. Ugh. They guilt you. And they tell you what a horrible human you are. As someone who has fake teeth, who's had the root canals, it's horrible. You go in. Oh, I mean, you've gotten this taken out and put back in and cleaned. And
I know. So
it's painful. That's why.
I was in the chair for 2.5 hours.
Ooh.
And it isn't, it's just the sound.
Yeah.
It's just, and I got to go back a week from Monday. Oh. So this just drained me completely. I'm still recovering from it. That's why we're not giving you the
vaunted sex tour.
Right. Although.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Although,
do tell.
Speaking of dentists. I met the coolest dentist in the world one time. He went under the name of the Tennessee Dentist.
Really?
I was working at Yankee Stadium pre-ticket scalping. I was working for Bo at the souvenir store.
Yeah.
And I was occasionally, buy and sell a few tickets. And it was a night game. And this guy comes walking from the subway. And he came up to me at the store. He goes, there's a million scalpers.
Mm-hmm.
No one's got a good ticket, and I happen to have two.
Oh, wow.
So I sold him one of the tickets, and then I went into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out, I forget what his name was, but he was up on a Roman holiday.
Oh.
Roman all over New York City partying.
Wow.
And after the ball game, then at the game, we were sitting in these really good box seats. He asked me, hey, anywhere we could get some Coke?
Oh.
I'm like, yes. So I went.
Ding, 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 ding.
I wound up hanging out with the guy for like 3 days.
Really?
Yeah. The guy didn't go to bed. I kept him up for 3 days.
Oh, my God.
And then the Tennessee dentist. I took him to some of the after hours clubs.
Really? Were they playing stroking?
Glenn. No, I took him. There used to be another one, but we never even mentioned.
Yeah.
It used to be on 3rd Avenue.
Okay.
Between, right by where the Palladium was.
So I lived on 3rd and 11th.
Well, this was on 3rd between either 11th or 12th or 12th and 13th, or maybe 13th and 14th.
Yeah.
It was a stair. It was a.
The back entrance of the Palladium was on 13th.
This was right on 3rd.
Okay. 3rd and 13th.
Yeah. And a complete den of iniquity.
Yeah.
People freebasing cocaine wide open.
Whoa. What year? This is curious to me.
1984, 5, 3.
Wow. And was that... That wasn't new by this point, because Richard Pryor already lit himself on fire, right?
No. Okay. No. The rules of the club were you could freebase upstairs.
So it was less of a fire hazard because the top of the building would get... that seems like a pretty arbitrary rule.
You could snort cocaine on the bar or the tables downstairs.
Huh.
But if you wanted to smoke, you had to go upstairs.
Okay. If... now... I'm a dummy. Is there second?
You're smart for not getting involved,
right? Is there secondhand freebase? Like, if you're around somebody who's freebasing, do you secondhand inhale?
I don't think so.
Okay,
I don't think so. No.
Because the only time I've ever been around crack cocaine, this is a true story, was Pearl Jam concert 2003. Mm-hmm. These people wandered in front of my brother and I while we were enjoying Pearl Jam. And my brother goes, that dude's got a crack pipe. We're going over there. We're moving. And so I didn't know, you know, maybe it's just because they're bad news. Maybe
your brother was maybe going to be tempted.
Yeah.
Tap him on the shoulder.
I was 16 at the time, too. So yeah. He was, looking out for me, but
it's no good.
Yeah. So they were really they're freebasing. Right?
Yeah. Jeez.
That's
it was a sick place.
Hey.
So. I have to get this dental thing under control. I mean, it's better, but yeah. it was, and I don't want to be a crybaby. You know, it's funny. I was just complaining to you, complaining to AJ, complaining to my other friend,
yeah,
Chris.
Dennis sucks.
I was on the phone. And then I had, before you guys came over, by happenstance, the Red Sox Astros game was on, and they had all these handicapped kids in wheelchairs on the field with serious, serious issues. And I'm like, I'm complaining about my tooth.
That, you know.
And here's this 9-year-old boy.
Yeah.
So it's, you got to put things in perspective.
Perspective's good, but it's okay to not feel good. It's okay. The dentist sucks, Gary. As somebody that's had, you know, again, my two front teeth are gone and popped them out in a moped accident. They had to drill in, pull them out. I mean, I'm with you. I don't wish that on my worst enemy.
Well, I hadn't had a major operation, dental thing like this since when I had my whole teeth redone. And when I did that, I was in the dentist chair much longer, but they gave me some Valium.
Okay.
And so I'll get through this. And maybe if I would have stayed in touch with the Tennessee dentist.
What do you think he's up to?
I don't know. I don't know.
And was he an actual dentist? Or
he was. Okay. He was.
Because sometimes your nickname's Gary. They're not dentists.
Yeah, no, he was. He was a really cool guy. We're going to have some guests. We had a really good reaction to
Bushwhacker
Week.
He was great.
People loved the stories.
We're going to have him back again.
Someone sent me an email that said they enjoyed that last interview, which we, thanks to AJ, we put up on YouTube, that they learned more about behind the scenes wrestling and these crazy stories. This is this guy's quote. Then watching the last 3 or 4 Dark Side of the Rings.
Wow.
This was better. Giving, you know, talking about, you know, these legends, even ranging from Don Leo Jonathan.
Right.
Up to, you know, the Heart Kids.
And yeah.
Just all this stuff. So it was really nice having Luke on. We're going to schedule George Napolitano.
Yeah.
Who's a hidden here and a friend of yours I spoke to.
Yeah.
Another friend of yours.
Oh, no, not just George. Okay.
Bill Apter.
I love Bill. Those are two guys who were like the Forrest Gumps of pro wrestling. If something happened in the Northeast, there's a 99% chance that they were there.
Or they traveled a lot, too.
And they took photos. And, you know, to your point, once Pro Wrestling Illustrated started to get going for Stanley Weston, Bill was everywhere. He was credentialed. You'd see him ringside everywhere.
I don't think they liked each other.
I get that sense. There's some competitive...
They coexisted.
Yeah. And, you know, it was kind of like WCW and WWF, not, even though they both mostly photographer, you know, mostly did WWF.
So I spoke to both those gentlemen.
Awesome.
And I also spoke to two excellent journalists, Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
And Dave LaGreca.
Wonderful.
Who were both be happy to come on.
Yeah.
You know, Mike and Dave are good because they go back to the very, very beginning of Ring of Honor and plus their fandom.
Yeah.
You know, Mike was a huge ECW fan.
Oh, yeah.
Dave's been a lifetime fan. They've both been big supporters of Ring of Honor over the years. And
absolutely.
They have tons of good stories. So we'll come back with a little more fun next week. I think we're going to have George first.
Yeah.
And George,
who I just found out, took the famous photo of Andre the Giant and the four women.
Right.
And he took the famous photo of Debbie Harry with Andre the Giant also. She credited him the other day. It was amazing. She tagged him in everything.
He's got stories.
Yeah. So we'd love to have him. He's been helping us out on the posters of the week on adfreeshows.com on the free tier. Everybody can check those out. If you go to youtube.com/IanRicabani, there's a playlist of all those videos. You can watch those. George has been helping us. Kevin Sullivan, Bushwhacker Luke. And to tie things up, there's a player that was just called up to the Phillies, Kerry. Do you know what his name is?
Ian Anderson.
That's the Atlanta Braves. But there's going to be a point this season where Ian Anderson faces Luke Williams
right.
of the Philadelphia Phillies. That's going to be a lot of fun.
I wonder, one of these announcers is going to make the cross-reference because they've done it enough with Ian Anderson, which is, forget about me being a tall freak. He's a pretty well-known rock star.
Sure.
If you're an older, if you're either no rock and roll, so... These 50, 60-year-old announcers, they bring it up. So someone's got to bring up Luke Williams.
I've nudged the Philly social guy. I know who it is, and I've sent a little message to make sure that they have some fun with it.
Well, Luke deserves a shout-out.
Yeah. That'd be fun to have him up on the big screen if they can.
Yes.
Luke Williams comes out. Yeah. That was fun, Kerry. It was a quick 30 minutes. It was a little bit of a sprint this week, but
yeah,
we'll come back next week. We'll have George Napolitano.
Yeah.
And maybe he'll give us a sex tour. Do you think George went to?
Well.
Oh, hey, wait a minute.
He doesn't. George, I'll just say this. George said to me, I can't tell a lot of the stories. I'm still married, Kevin. But yeah, you know, George was in Puerto Rico a lot with Luke
in the
80s. When Luke was telling those, you know.
Yeah.
And Luke was talking about going with Abdullah the Butcher to the Black Angus and the trannies on the street.
Yeah, the trans individuals, yeah.
And George might have been in the car, but I don't want to say it might have been. I'm not sure.
Might have been. Okay. Well, we can, if he's comfortable telling that story, we'll let him tell the story. So we look forward to you hearing those stories and potentially even more next week at our last at Penn Station. We want to thank AJ from Basant Creative and Web Design. We want to thank Kerry for being our loyal root canal subject this week. And we want to thank you for listening. For more Wrestling with Kerry and I, you can check out adfreeshows.com on the free tier. We provide a poster from Kerry's collection every week. It's a YouTube video. It's called Last Stop Penn Station Presents Poster of the Week. And we're going through the 55 Parkhurst set. We're going to be up to 105
as of today.
Yeah, only 16 left and some big names, including Buddy Rogers, Luthez, and the Dusics still remain. So if you want to learn about some great history, some wrestling history, please join us there. YouTube.com/IanRicabani or 55and5.com. That's it for this week. Happy wrestling, everybody.
We hail you for listening to Last Stop Penn Station Podcast. Rate, review, like, subscribe, and share on your favorite platform. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or at laststoppennstation.com.